5. But it wasn't the whole world of the Cyclos laughing. It was Turl. Mid-morning sunlight filled the cage as Johnny awoke. Turl was standing at the second table, turning over the man books and laughing. Johnny sat up in his robes.
You finished with these, animal?
Johnny went over to the artificial pond and washed his face. A month back, he had persuaded Turl to keep a trickle running in, so he could get clean water at the intake. It was cold and refreshed him. There was a shattering crash in the air, and for a moment he thought something had blown up. But it was only the recon drone passing overhead. For some days now, it had been making mid-morning sweeps. Kerr had explained to him what it was. It was an ore detection activity surveillance craft, capable of taking continuous pictures. It was regulated by remote control. All his life, Johnny had seen such craft overhead and had supposed they were natural phenomena, such as meteors or the sun and moon. But those had passed every few days, and this one was passing daily. The old ones did not rumble in the distance as they approached, and did not make an explosion as they went by. This one did. Kerr hadn't really known why, but it had to do with speed. They were very fast. You couldn't turn one in the air or stop one. You could only guide it, and it had to go all the way around the planet to get back. So this one, if it was the same one, was circling the planet daily. The harsh boom was very unpleasant. Turl looked up at it, and then carefully ignored it. Mine site personnel didn't like it.
"Why every day?" said Johnny, looking up at it.
It was an element in his escape planning. It only took pictures, but that would be enough.
"I said," snarled Turl, "are you finished with these books?"
The recon drone was fading, its rumble losing itself across the eastern plains. Its path had been from the mountains. Johnny made a breakfast of cold meat and water. Turl stacked the books up in his arms and went to the cage door. Turl halted indifferently.
"If you're so keen on data about those mountains," said Turl, "there's a whole relief map of them in the library of that town up north. You want to look at it?"
Instantly alert, Johnny nevertheless kept on with his breakfast. An accommodating Turl always had something else in mind. But this was a chance Johnny had scarcely dared hope for. In his planning, he had gone over ways to get Turl to take him out in the car. It would be a simple matter to throw a door catch, swing a blast of air into the car, hit the emergency stop button, and hold a gun on Turl. Desperate, but it was a chance.
"I got nothing to do today," said Turl. "Your machine training has ended. We might run up to the town, look at that relief map, do a little hunting, maybe look some more for your horse."
A rambling Turl was not within Johnny's experience. Did the monster know something?
"I want to show you something anyways," said Turl. "So get your things together and I'll be by in about an hour, and we'll take a ride. I've got to check some things. I'll be back. Be ready, animal."
Johnny scrambled. This was a bit premature and it upset his planning, but he looked on it as a heaven-sent chance. He had to get away and get to his people, both to stop Chrissy if she attempted to keep her promise, and to move the village to a safer place. There were only 2 weeks left before the Constellation returned to its place. He put the small gun in his belt pouch, put the metal cutter alongside his ankle, packed a supply of smoked beef. He dressed in buckskin. When the hour was up, a vehicle rumbled into sight and stopped. Johnny stared at it, wondering what was going on. This was not the Mark III tank. It was a simple equipment truck, normally used for transporting machinery. It had an enclosed, pressurized cab. The back was large and open, surrounded by stakes. Its only similarity to a tank was that it had no wheels, but skimmed a varying distance up to 3 feet above ground.
Then Johnny realized that this might work to his advantage. It had no heat seekers, no guns.
Turl got out and opened the cage.
Throw your things into the back, animal, and ride in the back.
He unfastened the leash and boosted Johnny over the tailgate. He took out a pocket welder and fastened the leash to the cab.
This way, said Turl, I won't have to smell those hides.
He was laughing when he got into the cab, took off his mask and turned on its system. Suddenly, Johnny realized he had no way of immobilizing Turl. He couldn't open the door on him. The truck skimmed away. It was slower than the tanks, and it was not as well cushioned against the ground, for it was now running very underloaded. Johnny held on, his head ducked below the forward cab level. The 80-mile-an-hour wind of passage roared over his head and against the truck's upright stakes. He was thinking fast. Somehow he could play this so as to get the truck as well. Its controls weren't any different, of that he was certain, from the quick glance he had had. All cyclo controls were simple levers and buttons. What a relief it would be to get rid of this collar. His heart was thudding expectantly. Once again, if he made no mistakes, he would be free. 6. It was no more than 1 o'clock when they thudded to a halt outside the library in the town. Turl got out, shaking the vehicle with his weight. He was still conversational when he unfastened the leash.
See anything of your horse?
Not a thing, said Johnny.
Too bad, animal. This truck is the very thing to carry a horse, or 10 horses, for that matter.
Turl went to the library door and with a tool undid the lock. He gave the leash a yank and sent Johnny in ahead of him. The place was a quiet tomb of dust, the interior the same as Johnny had last seen it. Turl was looking around.
Ah, said Turl, so that's how you got in before.
He was pointing to the disturbed dust under a window and the unchanged impressions of footprints across the floor.
You even put the guard screens back. Well, he added, looking around, let's find data on the Western Mountains.
Johnny was aware of the changes in himself. Those blotches of white he had seen before were signs, very plain and easy to read. He saw that his previous visit had occurred beside the children's section, and that the shelves he had first approached were marked Child Educational.
Wait a minute, said Turl. I don't think you know how to read a library index. Come over here, animal.
He yanked on the leash he had let run long. He was standing by stacks of small drawers. He bent over and opened one.
According to the Chinkos, every book has a card and the cards are in here in these drawers. Alphabetical. Got it?
Johnny looked at the drawers. Turl had pulled one out that was all Q. The cards were musty and grayed, but readable.
Anything there about mountains?
Said Turl. Tense as he was, Johnny had to repress a smile. Here was more proof that Turl couldn't read English.
The drawer you have there is all about vehicles, said Johnny.
Yes, I can see that, said Turl. Go through it and find mountains.
He moved off, elaborately interested in some ancient posters on the wall, holding the leash. Johnny started opening drawers. Some were stuck, others had their front tabs missing. But he finally found the drawers for M. He began to go through the cards. He came to Modern Military Science.
I've found something, said Johnny. May I have a pen to write the numbers?
Turl handed him a pen several sizes too big for Johnny's hand, and then gave him some folded sheets. Turl wandered off again. Johnny wrote down the numbers of several books.
I have to go over to the shelves now, said Johnny,
and Turl paid out more line. After a little while, and after a minor battle with a ladder that had sunk into and stuck to the floor, Johnny got up to a higher shelf and raised the protective sheet.
In a moment, he was swiftly scanning through a section of a book headed Defense Systems of the United States.
"Anything about mountains?" said Turl.
Johnny bent down and showed him a page entitled MX-1 Anti-Nuclear Silos.
"Yep," said Turl.
Johnny handed him the book.
"We better take this one. There's some more."
In rapid order, he fought the ladder along the shelves and took out another half-dozen books. Nuclear Physics. Congressional Hearings on Missile Installations. The Scandals of Nuclear Mismanagement. Nuclear Deterrent Strategy. Uranium. Hope or Hell. And Nuclear Waste and Pollution. There were more, but he felt rushed, and the seven books were heavy for a man about to run.
"I don't see any pictures," said Turl.
Johnny quickly pushed the ladder along. He grabbed a book, Colorado Scenic Wonderland, glanced at it, and gave it to Turl.
"That's more like it, animal."
Turl was pleased with the gorgeous views of mountains, particularly since many were purple and the aging ink had turned bluish.
"More like it."
Turl put the books in a sack.
"Let's see if we can locate the relief map."
He gave the leash a yank that almost tumbled Johnny off the ladder. But Turl didn't lead the way to another floor right then. He wandered over to the door first and seemed to be listening. Then he came back and went up some stairs. There was a relief map laid out on display, possibly not a permanent fixture. Turl knelt down and looked at it searchingly. Johnny, keyed up as he was made very uneasy by the colored relief map. It showed the nearby mountains very accurately by his estimation. The passes and high peak were plain, and there was the meadow of the village in plain sight. Of course, the map had been made ages before there was a village, but still, there it was. It made Johnny nervous. He knew the recon drone must have spotted it long since, and that Turl undoubtedly had pictures of it. There, also, was the long canyon, and Johnny knew he was looking at the location of what he had taken to be an ancient tomb. He looked as closely as he could without calling it to Turl's attention. No, there was no tomb or anything else marked at the head of that canyon. As a slight diversion, he traced out with his finger some of the letters. Rocky Mountains, Pike's Peak, Mount Vale. Then he saw that he needn't have bothered to dissemble. Turl's attention was glued on a deep, long canyon. A talon was carefully tracing a cliff face and the river below it. The monster, seeing Johnny was watching, quickly traced some other canyons in the same way. But he came back to that one canyon. Turl stiffened for a moment, head jerking up. Then he became very bland.
"Seen all you want, animal."
Johnny was happy to get him away from the relief map. It was too much like Turl staring down at Johnny's people. Turl went down the stairs toward the front door, pools of ancient dust stirring as he walked. The sound of their footsteps had obscured it. Johnny was certain he heard the hoof strike of a horse.